August at 7 p.m. right here at RLCC will be our RLCC Young Adult Cookout. If you are anywhere between fresh out of high school to age 30, you are welcome to attend. Burgers and hot dogs will be provided. Please bring a side dish to share. Be sure to come out for an evening of food, fun, and fellowship.
Hello, ladies of Real Life Christian Church. Are you interested in joining us for our next Girls Time Out event? On July 26th at 2 p.m., we're going to head to the Battery for lunch and rent a private booth to do karaoke at the Punch Bowl Social. If karaoke isn't your thing, we can also throw darts or reserve a bowling lane. Price will be around $10 per person plus the cost of your lunch. If this is something you're interested in, please give me a call at 770-597-7307.
It's been an amazing summer for our 252 kids, but now it's time to go back to school. So let's have a bash. Join us on Sunday, April 3rd from 12:30 to 2:30 for pizza, popsicles, train rides, and water slides. What a great way to end the summer. So join us for our back to school bash on Sunday, August 3rd.
1, 2. Intro 2, 3, 4. Verse 1.
It's great to see everybody. You know, I was just thinking during that song, I love whenever I find something new or just something that I forgot about in the words of a song or in the music or the meaning. And, like, what just hit me there was, and just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. And it just makes me think about how, like, we don't know God until we learn about him. And then we find him. And he knew us all along. And it's just such a feeling that you get to feel like there's somebody that had your back the entire time, even when you didn't know it. So going through that song, it just hit me. And I wanted to share that with you. Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you so much for having our back. Thank you so much for being there, even when sometimes it seems like nobody else is. But also thank you for being there in the good times, to be there, someone we can celebrate with that can make it all worth it. Thank you for everything that you do, and thank you for being you. In your name, amen.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Interlude, breakdown, refrain, all in. Refrain. Instrumental. Chorus. Drums out. Chorus. Instrumental, drums in. Refrain, all in. Intro. Outro. Ending.
You can be seated if you wish.
1, 2. Intro. 2, 3, 4.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul, remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled.
Pre-chorus. Interlude. Breakdown. Bridge. Build. Refrain. Outro. Ending.
time back, I read an article by Victor Knowles who entitled the whole article by two words, "But God." Many times, people have wondered whether God intervenes in history, whether God intervenes in our own individual lives. And the Bible tells us that he does. And some examples of those are from those two words, "but God." And I want to read a few of those. In Genesis 50, chapter 20, Joseph is speaking to his brothers who had sold him into slavery. And Joseph's life after that was far from easy, as he was put in jail and he was accused of a false event and went in jail again. But finally, he became second in command of the whole nation of Egypt. And when his brothers came to find some food, he recognized them. They did not recognize him. Listen to these words. Joseph speaking to those brothers who sold him. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid." In spite of all that he had suffered because of them, he knew God had a plan. And the whole nation of Israel, in a time of famine, came to Egypt to have food. In the New Testament, there are several examples of those two words. One of these dealt with the loneliness some felt during a time of quarantine and jail. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus." For this time of communion, in Ephesians chapter 2, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Romans chapter 5, 6. "For while we were helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man some would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In the book of Acts, as they were talking about it, what happened to Jesus. "And when they had carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead." How many times in your life have things been going away that you didn't like, but God stepped in? There was no better time than when we were enemies, when we were sinners, when we were lost, but God sent Jesus. But Jesus chose the cross. And if we have chosen him, at the communion time we remember, through the bread Jesus' body on that cross, Jesus' blood shed. The scripture says, for the sins of many, may we say, for my sins. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Those words are inadequate for you to demonstrate your love by sending Jesus. Jesus taking on flesh. There are several different ways to give. It might be on the screen. It's been up there every week. And we might give at different times, depending on when money comes in. Might be weekly, might be every 2 weeks, it might be once a month. But as we consider what we're going to give, and we need to think about it, we need to remember God's blessings to us. We need to remember God's love. And we need to remember that we don't own a thing. We came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. I've told my kids they're getting nothing. Because there's not going to be anything left. But every week we need to consider, or whatever time of the month, how much love can I show God? How much love can I show God for what He has done physically, materially, spiritually? How much can I give? How much can I give to God and even try to pay Him back? We can't go there, can we? Can't even come close. We're told to give cheerfully, generously, even sacrificially. The song we sang, we gave our whole life to Jesus when we became a Christian. And as we tend to support His work, the church, the kingdom, evangelism, missions, may we be a part of that. But whatever we might be able to give, and be thankful we can. give. Father, I thank you for the blessings of life. And we all have different circumstances in life. We all have different financial situations. But we come into this house thankful for you and thankful for Jesus. Thankful for this place. Thankful that someone shared the gospel with us.
I gotta have some water.
And may we support those who can share it with others. Bless these offerings to your Father in Jesus' name. Amen.
Totally different ball game between this service and the first service. First service, I'm so sleepy, I'm lucky to get it out. In this service, I'm hungry. I don't know about you, but I just thought I'd throw that in there, you know. So here we are. I'm going to start a new series, and I'm glad you're here, but I've got to start with a question. Who here has ever felt hindered or held back in some fashion or by some circumstance? Right? Now, I'm not talking about when your mama had you by the collar, but, you know. But you may have felt that you had more to give, more to offer, more to contribute. Those are things you sometimes we feel hindered in. And what about in your faith? Have you ever felt like there was something more? Some piece that may have been missing out on as you read through the Gospels and you read through Acts. I mean, let's face it, you read through the Gospels and the books of Acts and the miracles and the healings and the transformation and the boldness of the early church, it'll leave you wanting for more, right? I mean, when you see that and you see the boldness of the early church, man, I want more of that, don't you? And it sounds good to be bold and be like the early church. And if that's something that you want, you're not alone. Because over the centuries, this is something that the church has battled with over and over again. In fact, you all heard of the Reformation movement in the 16th century. It was rooted in the idea that something was missing in the experience of the people of God. Something was just missing. It was more than just the rituals they went through. It was more than going to church and going to confession and taking communion and going through the motions. And they wanted more. And I dare say that is the key to living the life of faith that you really want. And when I think of being hindered, I imagine this. Kind of like a racehorse in a gate. That gate hinders it, right? A thoroughbred is meant to run. And it's this gate is put up. And once it is opened, that horse is running free and it's beautiful and it's majestic, right? Nothing is no longer hindering that horse from running, but that gate is shut. And it can't go. Have you ever seen a horse in the gate and it's like they lurch? They want to go. They want to go. Every little movement, they think it's time to go. And they're ready. And that gate is the obstacle that holds that horse back. When we relate that to us, what is holding you back today? As a church, what is holding us back? What is our gate? And I dare say that most of the time, and I'm going to say this, and I'll say it again and again and again, that most of the gates in our life are self-imposed. Most of the gates in our life are things that we put there, not somebody else. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we go along. But you see, what more does God have for you to experience in your faith? As you roll these questions around, I'm excited to tell you that over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about being unhindered, no more gates. And using the book of Acts as a starting point, we're going to unpack several ways that we are called to live unhindered. Unhindered. You should live your life in a way that is without gates, without hindrance. First of all, there's something very special about the book of Acts. It's historically, the book serves as a vital link between the Gospels and the Epistles. Now, it explains the Gospels and the Epistles. You know, the Epistles were the letters from the church, letters to the church from Paul and Peter and the writer of Hebrews. And then the Gospels were the story of Jesus. So basically, Acts, in the middle, bridges the gap between Jesus of history and the Christ of faith. It bridges the gap of this is what happened in the Gospels to now this is how you live out that faith that you have in that man you just all read about. And once that happens, you can see that Jesus is preaching in the Gospels, and in the Epistles, Jesus is being preached. Do you see the difference? You see Jesus doing the preaching, and then when you read the Epistles, it's all about Jesus, and you're preaching about Jesus. And the book of Acts explains how the messenger became the message. So, unlike most history books, though, and history books are kind of boring. Let's just face it. And they don't have references to God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit either, do they? Now, the story simply wouldn't have been possible without God. He started it, motivated it, gave it direction, gave it energy, purpose, and he gave it a message, and he gave it protection. Luke doesn't give us a systematic description of God in Acts, but he describes what God did with the church. So as you go through the book of Acts, it's important to remember that everything points to Jesus. Everything. And it points to Jesus and his church. And it's a story after miraculous story of God's provision, of God's power, of his protection of his church. It's Peter and John preaching to the Jewish Sanhedrin. It's all the believers being of one heart and one mind. I mean, let's face it. They had something we don't. They sold their possessions so they could share amongst one another. And if I asked you all to do that, you'd shoot me on the spot. It's Philip baptizing the Ethiopian, and then suddenly, bang, he's gone, like bewitched or something. He's just beamed up to do the work of the gospel. I mean, it's miraculous stuff. It's Saul's conversion to Paul and Peter's miraculous escape from prison. And the list, we can turn on and talk about the book of Acts. It tells the story of the birth of Christianity and the very beginnings of the spread of the gospel. And when you're going through the book of Acts, there's one specific word that brings it all together. It's actually the very last word of the book. It's the very last word in Acts, and it is the word unhindered. Those verses that are up there now in Acts 28, 30 through 31 says, Paul stayed 2 full years in his own rented lodging and welcomed all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching things about the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. What a way to end a whole writing, right? What a way. So what's going on in this passage? We got to do that to get the whole message. We're going to go through it together. Paul stayed 2 full years in his own rented lodging and welcomed all who came. Well, Paul was sent by Agrippa and Festus to Rome, where he waited 2 years to be seen by Caesar. Paul had been arrested, and he is sent to Rome to face Caesar. And it takes 2 years. So he's sitting under house arrest. And he rents his own space, which theoretically is funded by other church members and welcomed anyone who came to him. So he could have visitors, he just couldn't leave. So he was basically in jail. Correct? And it says next, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching things about the Lord Jesus Christ. He may have been under house arrest. He may have been confined to that building, but he was preaching and teaching just like Jesus did. He was obeying the Great Commission. And it says, with all openness, unhindered. Paul had openness. He had boldness and confidence. And he did it unhindered. The very last word of the book of Acts. The very last word that bridges the Gospels and the Epistles. I can imagine Luke, as he wrote Acts, penning this last word, can't you? How am I going to wrap this thing up? Unhindered. Didn't he? Paul wasn't just preaching and teaching those who came to him. He was writing letters from jail as well. You know, he wrote letters while he was there. Most of Paul's writings were written over a span of 15 years. And in AD 60, he arrived in Rome and was imprisoned later that year. And for the next 2 years, he would live under house arrest there in Rome. But during this time, he didn't stop ministering. People came to him, and he wrote letters and encouraged churches by letters that he wrote from prison. And they're called the prison epistles. Imagine that. Big surprise. And there's 4 of them. You know, they were written during this time while he was under house arrest. They're Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. These letters receive further glimpses of this unhindered message and constant encouragement to other believers. I think that's so important. We read the Bible sometimes and we don't see it as encouraging. We see it as discouraging because it tells us not to do something. When it really, it's the most encouraging thing you'll ever read. It's actually the best news you can ever hear. You know, let's look at that. Look, in Ephesians, we use this last, this was the basis for our whole last series. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And of course, in 1 Thessalonians, he tells us what the Lord's will is. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you get it? Even though I'm under house arrest, God's will for me is to give thanks in all circumstances, no matter what's going on in my life. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes it's not. I mean, are you thankful all the time? Just tell the truth. No. But we should be, shouldn't we? Because we know where we're going to end up in the long run. Sometimes life is hard, isn't it? I mean, sometimes we don't know when we're going to be able to pay the next bill or not. Or we're dreading a doctor's appointment. Or maybe we didn't get the promotion we've been looking for. So the truth is, adversity is an opportunity, and you're not hindered by adversity. I mean, in Philippians, Paul says, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. And then he goes on, and I just want to read this. I just want you to listen to what he says in chapter 3 of Philippians. But whatsoever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Do you see that? He's in jail. And he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die would be better. It'd be gain. I'd go on to heaven. But I consider everything I've ever owned garbage compared to my faith. These are the words of a man at peace, right? He's at peace with himself. He's not bitter because he's under house arrest. He's not angry because he can't get out and go. Instead, he's content in his identity. In a sense, Paul is truly a free man right here. Even though things aren't going his way, he is still free. Then in Colossians, when he speaks, he says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. How can you not find encouragement for that? And then he says in Colossians 1, 21 through 22, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Uh-oh. One time you were enemies because of your behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. He says God has brought those who were far off near through Christ. There is no obstruction or hindrance to the grace of God. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what circumstances you're in, it cannot stop you from finding freedom in your faith. You know, the truth is, Jesus is for everyone, and Jesus is for everywhere, no matter what your circumstance may be, no matter what you're facing. You ever felt that moment where you felt like Jesus was far away? You were in a situation that was far from perfect, but Jesus should be with you everywhere, right? I mean, just give you an example. Yesterday, I had to run some errands, and I was going through Starbucks to get Leslie a coffee because I'm just a good husband, you know. I didn't have to get me one, but I did. So I'm getting her this coffee, and I'm ordering. I pull up to the window, and it's taking them a while, and this young girl in her 20s, she's real talkative. I mean, she's hanging out the window talking. And she goes, you know, hey, what are your plans today? I said, well, I've got ribs on the smoker. I said, I'm planning on going home and relaxing today and just enjoying it. And she said, well, that sounds really great. What about tomorrow? I said, oh, I've got church all day tomorrow. And it just ended the conversation. Right there. It was over. She went from real talkative to, do you need a straw? But Jesus is with us everywhere, right? And shouldn't we be willing to talk about those things? I have the freedom to say, yeah, I'll be at church all day on Sunday. You know, here's this early 20s girl. She just was all about it until it became about Jesus. Now, that's a rabbit hole we didn't really have to go down. But Jesus is for everywhere. No matter your circumstances. You know, Paul writes a letter to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. And Onesimus is a runaway slave. And he says, receive Onesimus as a brother to be loved, not as a runaway slave to be punished. And even though Onesimus deserved punishment, Paul contends for grace and forgiveness. So listen. There's a variety of writing coming from Paul under house arrest, and all of it seems like he's just free as can be, doesn't it? He's not a hindered man with an obstructed faith. His faith didn't go away because he was arrested. And your faith should not go away because things don't go your way. Luke, the author of Acts, rightly identifies this as he describes 2 years of Paul's life in just 2 verses of Scripture. Those verses we just read. And what better word to choose to end the story? Unhindered. The very last word of Acts could very well be the first word of faith for everybody who believes. There are so many ways the unhindered freedom of faith impacts our experience as we follow Jesus. And over the next few weeks, we're gonna talk about the way the kingdom, forgiveness, and power and the gospel are transformed and set free through the sacrifice of Jesus. And to begin with today, let's look at the kingdom of God. Now, I know I took up most of our time rambling on, so I won't keep you here long on this one. But we are going to hit this first point today. Things changed when Jesus showed up. And we know this from the many gospel accounts of his life, ministry, and the miracles that he performed among the Jewish community. He was different than the Messiah they were looking for. He spoke in parables, and he was gentle and lowly, the son of a simple carpenter. And in spite of these things, his kingdom and his teachings have turned the world upside down. He wasn't this great military leader that came and overthrew the government. Instead, he changed the world. He even changed the way you look at your calendar, you know that? If that doesn't say something, I don't know what will. You see, modern day believers under the new covenant of Christ were no longer hindered by the rules and regulations of the law. You no longer have to worry about the Jewish part of the law because you are a Christian. That's a good news, right? Because I like bacon, don't you? I mean, that's my number one reason I'm glad Jesus came. Bacon and sausage I can stand. No, that's not true. But I'm happy about it. I won't lie. I mean, I wrap everything in bacon. I had pork ribs yesterday. But still, the truth is everything changed. He's our high priest. We no longer have to go to the priest and offer sacrifices. And because of him, we can experience eternal salvation and redemption. And to put it simply, you know, if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. And what specifically are you freed from? That's important. You're free from sin and death. You are freed from sin and death. Or as Paul says, it's the dominion of darkness. In the kingdom of God, we are no longer hindered by darkness. We're no longer slaves to sin. And I think that's important. It's not that you're free to sin. You're free from sin. I mean, in Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Did you catch that? You've been freed from it. Why would you go back to it? Free to believe that God can and will act on the behalf of others. Free to come to Jesus with anything. Free to approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence. We're free to live as loved sons and daughters no matter what our circumstance in life is. Free to enjoy the lives that God has given us. Free to count everything as loss compared to the greatness of knowing Jesus himself. And with all that said, the unfortunate truth is that many of us become disillusioned with our faith. We lose our wonder of God. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember the wonder of God when you first believed? Do you remember that? Do you remember that feeling, that wonder of, I can't believe he's actually forgiven me? I can remember when I was baptized, the way it felt. The way it felt. I mean, it was on a Saturday, snowy, cold morning up in the mountains, and the baptistry heater didn't work, and it was free. But when Tom Rayford pulled me up out of the water, I don't remember much before. I can't even remember my confession. But I can remember the way the water felt as it came off my face as I came up out of that water. And the feeling of, I'm forgiven. That feeling of freedom of, he has forgiven me. I think that's why I love Christmas. It's the wonder of it all, you know? You remember that as a kid? That, oh, we've decorated the tree and the awe and the wonder, and there's presents under that tree, and one of them's for me. And I usually knew what it was because I snuck around a lot. But still, it was still the wonder, waiting up, the anticipation of that day. the wonder of it. And our faith should be that same kind of wonder, that obvious joy of knowing that hey, I am free. But somehow we lose sight of our first love, and a lot of us put the chains of our former lives back on. I mean, we see that in Galatians 4 where he says, formerly when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who are by nature not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved in them all over again? That's some powerful stuff, isn't it? What is your God? Those other gods are the sins that you fall into. You worship them over Jesus? Easily, right? Easily we could do that. And obviously, you know, no one here wants to return to the enslaved life of sin and death. You don't want to, but we find ourselves slipping back. And the reality is, we do often become disillusioned. We get our feelings hurt. Boy, that'll do it in a hurry, won't it? Somebody in the church hurts our feelings. You know what? This church is full of people, and people hurt people. God didn't do that to you. So you go take it out on God and worship something else? But the truth is, we get hurt. Or maybe God didn't answer the prayer the way that we wanted him to. And therefore, we find ourselves slipping back into our old way of life. We can lose our awe and wonder of God. We can become hindered by our hurt and our unmet expectations. Most of the gates that we put up in life that hinder us come from our hurts and our own expectations we have. Do you know that? Who are we to put expectations on God? Who are you to put an expectation on God? I mean, isn't he the one who should put expectations on us? I mean, we read what he expects of us in here, right? But instead, we want to pick and choose the things that line up with our expectations. You know, the beauty of being set free and the glory of being loved is that we were always welcome to come back, though. We're always welcome to come back. You know, so in Hebrews he says, so let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Take your eyes off the sin. Take your eyes off the hurt. Take the eyes off your own expectations. And let's look to Jesus and run free. And run free. You know, we're no longer buried under the rules and the law, but liberated by the grace that God has given us through Jesus. And do you know how great that love is? I mean, it's the lavish love of God. Ephesians chapter 1 may give us the most vivid picture of the unhindered kingdom when it describes the way that God lavished his love on us through Jesus. And I'm going to read to you 3 through 10. And I just want you to listen. And this is not my normal Bible. I took it to get it rebound. And I can't hardly see this thing because the words are so tiny compared to what I was used to carrying. And to be honest with you, I took this Bible to a guy. And he's 92 years old and he was barely moving. And I'm hoping I get it back one day. But bless his heart, he's going to rebind my Bible because it was falling apart. But here we go. I'm going to try this. I have to hold it funny. All right. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. and he made known to us the mystery of all of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in Christ to be put in effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Did you catch that? He lavished his love on us because that is his will. And do you remember what his will is? That we be content in all circumstances. That we're free in all circumstances. No matter what life throws at us, we are free. We're free to love Jesus. Nobody can take that away from you but you. Praise God for his generosity, his love, and his lavish grace. Because to lavish something as a verb means to bestow in generous or extravagant quantities on. God held nothing back from you. Do you understand that? He held nothing back from you when he gave you his son. And he lavished his love through Jesus. He gave extravagant gifts when he made a way for us to experience salvation and freedom from sin and death. Death will not have the final say. If that's not unhindered actions of a generous father, then I don't know what is. Now, I'm wrapping up today because I was hungry, remember? I wonder where you might be seeing the unhindered nature of faith at work in your life. What other areas would you add to the list I shared earlier? The unhindered kingdom, the unhindered forgiveness, unhindered power, and the unhindered gospel. Because I'm looking forward to the next few weeks as we continue this series together. But before we wrap up and move on, I want to reiterate something I mentioned earlier. You know, when I think of that horse in that gate, man, I love to see them when they come out, don't you? Don't you love to watch a horse run? It's beautiful, because it's meant to run. And that gate hinders the movement and the freedom. And the gate is the obstacle holding the horse back from what it was intended to be. And if you're allowing something in your life to hold you back, it is hindering you from living out the faith that you are called to live. You were meant to live a faith that shows everywhere in every part of your life. You are meant to run free in your faith and not be afraid. Don't be worried about political correctness. Whoever created that phase was nuts. The truth is the truth, whether they want to hear it or not. You are free to live your life as Jesus. But three questions. What's holding you back today? What obstacles are hindering your faith? What are they? Are you running free? Or is resentment and hurt and sin holding you back? Remember the beauty of being set free? The glory of being loved is what we're always welcome to return. So as I leave you today, I want to invite you to an unhindered kingdom where God has lavished his love, grace, and mercy over us. Maybe it's the first time. Maybe it's the first time you've ever came to Jesus for your forgiveness. And this is for you. You can come forward for the first time and profess Jesus as Lord of your life. Be baptized into Christ and feel what it's like to be forgiven as you receive the Holy Spirit. And maybe this is the thousandth time you've had to come. Maybe it's been over and over and over again in your life. You found that those roadblocks keep showing up that hinder your faith. You know, it's okay, because you don't have to stay behind those gates. Matter of fact, all you got to do is come to Jesus and he'll throw them wide open and you can run. If that's you, then rededicate your life to that. Do it today. Why would you want to live enslaved to something that goes
One, two, one, two, three, four, five, six. Chorus one. Chorus two.
That I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So I would be faithful.
Turn around. Chorus three. Face. Refrain. Slowly build. All in. Chorus one. Slowly build. Refrain, all in. Breakdown, vamp, interlude. Interlude.
So, this is Alan. So let me tell you about Alan. Alan was he's a very faithful member of our church, but 2 years ago, due to some medical things and the loss of a friend, he's his first time back to church in almost 2 years. So Alan came today and he wants to be rebaptized, but we're not going to try to get up those steps. So we're going to go to the lake after church, and we're going to baptize Alan. So here's the thing. I'm going to take his confession today, right now, and then we'll get ready, and we're going down to the Galt's Ferry to baptize this man. All right? All right, Alan, will you repeat after me? I still believe. That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Amen, amen. So Alan was baptized when he was 10. And he wants to do it again. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome? So, before we go, of course, I've always got more to say. I need 45 seconds because I want to show you this video of the playground.
God is good all the time. Let his love just shine. Raise your hands up high. Touch the sky, oh my. Every step we take, every move we make, God is here for you in everything we do. Your hands, come on, sing it loud, this song, God is good.
So that was day one, right after they put it up. And right after they put it up, they were having this Brainy Bites kids, and they got 20 or so kids downstairs for the summer. And James walked in the door and said, "Hey, the playground's ready," and it looked like a swarm of hornets went out there. But that thing is a great blessing to the community. We have people stopping and playing now, and there's people that play soccer. If you've ever been here on Monday night, you know there's hundreds of families coming and going out of here playing soccer on Monday night, and they're using it. But it's really a tool. It's a tool to reach people for Jesus, and it shows that we care about their kids. So here's the great thing. We've paid $8,000 of it so far out of 13, right? But that means we still need $4,000 or $5,000. We'll take $4,000 or $5,000 or $6,000 or $8,000, whatever you want to give. But we still need to pay for it. So there's my pitch. All right, there's several things going on and coming up that you can come and be a part of for fellowship. I think fellowship is so important. We're going to create more ways as school gets started and people settle down for you all to spend time together and really love each other. That means you have to like each other too, okay? Whether you want to or not, you got to love on each other. So just love on each other, and let's see that happen. I've got a lot of fun things coming up, like in the fall. Here's a Sunday school class on the occults and cults during the Sunday school hour, that if you want to come and see that and be a part of that, we're going to do that in the fellowship hall. I will have more to say about it. But I want to see people growing and educated in what faith is all about. And it doesn't do us any good to come in here and hear about it if we don't live it when we leave here. So let's take it and go be the church, guys. What do you think? All right. So, Alan, me and you got a date at the lake. All right. Kenny, will you dismiss us?
Please bow your heads with me. Dear God, we love you so much, and we feel loved by you. And we thank you for everything that you are able to accomplish through us and for us. All these projects that we have going on, all the events in our lives, you're the one that makes it all possible. So we love you so much for that. Please be with us as we go out into the world this week, as we be the church in your name, and give us the strength and the determination that we can be the best we can be for you. In your name, amen.